All right. Welcome, everyone, to our first episode of Real Fake Baseball, I guess. It is our first episode on the Friends with Fantasy Benefits feed, and we love Justin Mason for letting us come on to the feed. Thank you so much. It is Paul Martin, of course, the host of Real Fake Baseball. Really happy to be here, and my co-host Walter is still with me. It is Walter McMichael. We didn't throw him to the bench. We didn't demote him to AAA, the taxi squad, or anything like that. He's still here. Walter, how are you tonight?
Yeah, I know you're going on other podcasts on the feed here, and I've just been tagging along, waiting for our first show. But yeah, I'm happy to be here, and you know, we moved over here. We're very thankful for everything Lenny did, but we're moving on and hoping to just make the podcast as great as it can be.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we're going to be doing anything too different. We're still just going to talk about baseball, fantasy at some times, and we just love the sport. So we just come on here and talk for like 45 minutes to an hour because we want to and because we like to. And that's pretty much all that matters to us. You can catch me over on Twitter at Paul the Martin. I know we were kind of going to introduce ourselves, but just go on Twitter and I'm pretty sure you'll get to know both of us pretty quickly. Walter is at Real Fake Walter, and we write all over the place. Well, I write. I don't know if Walter still writes. I think that's in limbo right now, but he'd like to write, I think. Right, Walter?
See, I'm so bad at it. Like I start writing something and then I don't like how it sounds and then I just scrap it and then I start writing something else and then it's not really too much. It's pretty much could just be like a tweet and I'm just right. Like, yeah, so I haven't been. No, I really haven't been. But I tweet pretty frequently with just little tidbits. So right. Follow me on Twitter at Real Fake Walter.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, that's why I kind of do what I do. I force myself to write by doing Prospects of the Week over at Prospects 1500. I do the Fab 5 piece over at Razzball, and it's kind of just like, I don't really need to think about them. I just kind of write them. They write themselves. You know what I mean? Like, you're trying to come up with these, like the ones that I write over on Pitcher List, where it's like always kind of a new idea or like a player that's making a change. And I will give you that. Those are definitely hard to come up with. And I haven't done one for them in quite some time. And I want to get back to that. So definitely catch me over on there soon and Twitter for sure. So I don't know if you want to introduce yourself anymore, Walter. You want to tell them about your personal life or your debts or like any trials or tribulations you've been through, like anything like that?
My debts? I mean, I did go to college, so of course.
I mean like,
student loan debts.
I mean, like, any gambling debts you have or, you know, ties or anything of like that.
I think
something
I'm
interesting.
There.
Something interesting.
Interesting. I'm planning for a one-year-old birthday on Saturday. Is that interesting?
No.
That's pretty much all I have time to wrap my head around right now.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I couldn't help you there, and I don't think it's interesting either. So I think that we should move on to baseball if you're ready for that.
Yeah, go ahead. I need something.
Well, we're gonna talk about one of my kids to start off the podcast here, and I'm pretty sure. Well, you already know who it is, but I think if you follow me on Twitter, you probably know who this is too. It's Max Muncy. We just kind of get into the players here, and there's just a few guys that we really want to get into right off the bat. We're going to talk about some dynasty stuff after this. We're going to talk about some trades and whatnot. But right now, I want to get into Max Muncy because I've been touting this guy for a little bit here. I originally said that he was just an only league pickup, but it's clearly a little bit more than that. My love affair stretches a lot further. Walter, I want to get your initial thoughts on Muncy because I think you're kind of high on him too, right?
Yeah, I don't think I got in on the Muncy train because I just in so many leagues I have so many first basemen just because I drafted like a ton of like CJ Cron type, so it's like I was pretty set at the position. So, but yeah, there's these four guys. Their names are Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, JD Martinez, and Freddie Freeman. Those are the four guys ahead of Max Muncy on the ex-WOBA leaderboard. I think that's pretty good company to be in. What What's your take on that?
I would say so as well. And not only that, but he has 21.7% barrels right now. So almost one, well, clearly one in five times he's making contact with the ball, it is a barrel. And that is pretty sick. I'm pretty sure that's high on the list too. I didn't get the actual number on that, but it's just a ridiculous number right there. Yeah, he's got a 447 x woba, he's got a 671 x slug, and really it wouldn't even matter if they just stopped throwing fastballs and adjusted to him right now, just based on the sample that we have. I mean, he's got 155 breaking balls that they've thrown to him, 304 x woba, so that's the lowest pitch right now, the breaking balls. He still has tough time with, but 113 off speed pitches, he's got a 511 x woba, and on fastballs it's 467. So I mean, he's just crushing almost everything that comes to him right now, and he's always had low chase rates, even in the small samples that he's had before. So the plate discipline was always pretty good with Muncy, but now everything's just coming together, and he's finally able to hit the fastballs and catch up to certain pitches and just launch them anywhere he wants. So pretty excited about him. And I'm excited about Jock Peterson too, another Dodgers outfielder, or wherever they're playing now. I mean, infield's playing in the outfield, Max Muncy's kind of wherever they can fit him. So Jock Peterson is really having a good year and no one's talking about it. Walter, are you intrigued on the strikeout rate dip, on kind of the more fly balls? He's doing a little bit of the launch angle thing. Are you buying into Jock Peterson this year too? And do you think that he can play for the rest of the year with all of these people in the lineup?
Jock Peterson. Yeah, I've always been moderately interested in Jock Peterson. He did get extremely hyped in his rookie year when he hit 20 home runs in the first half of the season, and I believe he was an all-star that year. But last year he was really bad, and what was kind of lost in it was the fact that he actually cut his strikeouts a lot last year, and he had a terrible BABIP problem last year, and it looks like this year he's, like you said, he's worked on his launch angle, he's hitting less ground balls, so his home run to fly ball rate isn't out of whack. He has a decent BABIP. Everything looks in line. I mean, I'm buying him. I have him in a couple leagues. I drafted him late this year because he costs absolutely nothing. That's one of my favorite things to do, is take a very talented player late that everybody has kind of soured on. Like you kind of could have done with Puig last year.
Yeah.
And it just... And if they're bad again, you just cut them. It costs nothing, but you never know when a player can just break out like that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially with the launch angle, stuff like that. I mean, he's hitting under the ball a lot more too. So I think once that corrects just a little bit, I think that we could even see more power from Jock Peterson, especially with the way that he's been making contact lately. His swing and miss is just down on every single pitch. Breaking balls, fastballs, off-speed pitches. He's pulling the ball less, and I feel like that just has something to do with this approach. He's just trying to make more contact, maybe letting the ball come in a little bit further, because he knows that he has that insane bat speed and he'll be able to catch up to pretty much any pitch that comes to him. So maybe just being a little bit more patient, not being ahead of the ball so much, not trying to pull it, because he knows he can hit it out of the park to any part of the field. So definitely buying into Jock Peterson. And I know you had you were trying to tell me that you had a hitter that you wanted to talk about, but also a trade that you wanted to talk about. So why don't you go ahead and kind of tell me what's going on there?
Oh yeah. So you sent me an email, and I noticed that I had gotten a trade offer at 9:27 PM tonight. So this is in a keeper league. It's a salary keeper league, $400 cap. I got offered $22 David Price and $19 Jake Lamb for my $2 Juan Soto.
Mm.
What are you thinking about that one?
I would think I would just kind of move on pretty quickly.
Yeah, you think that's probably what I should do, is just move on there? My $2 Juan Soto, who won't be like a $10 player for three more years?
He's also probably a better win now piece than both of those guys put together.
Yeah. So I put out a tweet when Juan Soto, when I knew the Fab was going to be crazy, that he wasn't going to be worth it. And I could not have been more wrong. Yes. And I remember we did the podcast when he got called up to AA. That, I think that was the last podcast on our feed. And I said, Juan Soto is going to make the majors this year. And you were kind of like, yeah, well, maybe. And I was like, no, he's ahead of where Victor Robles was last year. And I had no clue it was going to be the next week he was up.
Yeah.
Well, insane is Juan Soto? Honestly, like they were talking in the staff chat today. It was like, would you rather have Juan Soto or George Springer in a keeper league? And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, it should be George Springer, but I don't see how I take him over Juan Soto. I like George Springer.
Yeah. I mean, I still would take Springer, I think, just because he has the track record and he's still young as well. And I mean, you're going to probably see him do it for the next 5 years as well. So it's not like in a keeper league that that's really going to harm you if you take him over Soto.
I mean, he's 5 years when he's 33, you think he's going to keep doing it? 5 years, Juan Soto will be 24.
Yeah, I mean, in 5 years, is this keeper league still going to be a thing? Is like another question. Like,
well, I think you have to go on the assumption that it's going to stick around, or there's no point in playing it.
I guess so, but still, like, I don't know, man. It's just like, it's so close at this point that I mean, I probably just wouldn't trade Soto anyway. Like, so it doesn't really matter. But like at this point, if you had to choose, like, I would still say you have to take Springer over Soto, but. Like, no, it's definitely close because he was naming other players too. And I was just like, what was it? Like Haniger? He's way over Haniger. Like, that's not close.
And Bregman was in there too.
Yeah, Bregman. I would say Bregman still, just because he is still younger and he has shown the ability to have like close to a 400 OBP in the league as well. So, I mean, he has a little bit of speed too. Soto doesn't have the speed. So,
oh, man. I don't know, man. I think that. I'm like, I think I'm going to be one of the crazy Juan Soto people. Like, I feel like people are going to say he's overdrafted somewhere next year. So the problem I had was I thought he was going to get sent down, but it's like he's absolutely destroying the majors already. So it's like you can't send him down, because I don't think there's, between him, Eaton, and Harper, there isn't someone that can play center field every single day. But I guess what they're going to do is just rotate off days. Man, he is so good.
Yeah, like, so it almost good. Makes you forget that there's a 21-year-old on the Yankees that's also raking too, that hit another home run today. It's crazy what's going on with these kids.
Torres
right now.
Is insane.
He hit another one today. It's really wild. Off Blake Snell too.
Yeah, I mean,
how many home runs has Blake Snell even given up this year? I feel like it's not a lot.
Not many. Blake Snell has just been.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Blake Snell tonight. That's actually perfect.
Blake Snell has given up. Gave up a dong too.
He's given up 9 home runs this year so far.
So it's not.
It's not crazy. 9 home runs in 14 starts.
I mean, that's like average.
Yeah.
I'd say.
Yeah, it's about a home run per 9. So that's nothing crazy. But I mean, Blake Snell's just been awesome this year, and I feel like he hasn't really done much. He's just a great prospect. He was always a great prospect. He's a big lefty. He throws gas, and all he needed to do was some minor adjustments, and that is exactly what he did. I mean, he has slightly more movement on his pitches, nothing crazy, nothing that you would really notice too much, but definitely one that's moving balls slightly off the barrel just enough to where he's more successful this year. Also, he's improving his in-zone swing and miss. So not so much that people are chasing his pitches as much, but just that slight movement is making people miss in the zone that much more. And I feel like just these little improvements that Blake Snell is making all around the board on all of his pitches, it just kind of, it makes it almost unexplainable how he became so good. Just because all of these small adjustments are going unnoticed, and it definitely should not be going unnoticed, because he fixed almost every part of his game this year.
Yeah, I mean, Blake Snell is, I mean, he's just, he's insane. Like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, he's a lefty up there throwing gas. He that changeup is nasty to righties. And then he's just like death to lefties. Like, they can't even touch him. Yeah. It's just, he's just all around putting it together. I think people are getting a little crazy on the Blake Snell train. I think it would be kind of a good time to sell high on him in redraft leagues and dynasty leagues. You just hold on until
he gets hurt.
Yeah. But I think in redraft leagues, for the most part, if you sold pretty much every young starting pitcher that has like a 80 inning pitch of dominance, you're probably ahead on in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it's always good to sell. Like we love Lance McCullers. Like last year, Lance McCullers was doing things better than Blake Snell is doing this year at this time.
Right.
And if you sold on him as like a top 10 pitcher, you made out, because he kind of fell apart. And that is part of the problem with young starting pitchers. You don't know how they're going to do over the full season grind. Mm. And I think it is a good time to cash in your Blake Snell shares personally.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely in Dynasty, like you said, you got to keep holding on to him. I mean, he did pitch a good amount of innings last year. He threw 173 last year, so.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not too worried about him getting shut down or anything. That's not
just kind of like the running out of gas by the end of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm.
Okay, one last thing about Juan Soto, though.
Oh my God.
Mike Trout, Jose Altuve, DJ LeMahieu, Mookie Betts, Daniel Murphy. Those are the players projected by Steamer that are currently in the majors to have a higher batting average rest of the season than Juan Soto's 295. They projected 295 batting average from him.
That's pretty crazy.
Like, oh God.
Are these the same projection systems that said Jose Ramirez would hit 22 home runs this year?
Yeah. I mean, the projection system, I mean, Steamer has Jose Ramirez hitting 14 rest of the season. I think that's pretty fair. They've adjusted. They have him hitting 290 with 14 home runs rest of the season.
Yeah, they've adjusted.
Yeah.
Took them long enough, to be honest.
They're pretty good at adjusting when a player comes around. Sometimes the Jose Ramirez. Yeah, we can talk about Jose Ramirez, too. No, like... There was very few people that thought the power was going to stick, but
where's the accountability out there? I want to hear.
Here we go. That's Smata, right? He's talking about prospect list the other day. There's no accountability in prospect list, is what he said.
Yeah, where's the accountability on the Jose Ramirez hate? Come on, I want to hear it. This dude was lined up for 30 home runs this year. He was ready to go. Francisco Lindor too. I didn't forget about Francisco Lindor. This dude is also having a season right now. We need to put respect on the Cleveland Indians left side of the infield's names right now.
Yeah, those dudes are ridiculous.
Yeah, they're ballers. They're absolute ballers. Although it does almost take both of them combined to add up to Mike Trout. But anyway.
Yeah, I was just about to say, we'd be having some MVP talks if one Mike Trout didn't exist.
Yeah, exactly. If they put the Mike Trout filter on the MVP vote.
They need to.
It would be interesting.
It's not even fair.
Just give him the Mike Trout award and then hand out the MVP. Yeah.
He's on pace for like 13 WAR this year, something stupid like that.
Yeah, it should be the greatest WAR season of all time, which is fun, I guess.
And I don't think that us, even as like people that watch as much baseball as we do, I still don't think you can really appreciate how great Mike Trout is. Like, he's just so good. And
yeah.
And I think part of the problem is he plays on the West Coast, so us sleepy East Coasters who go to bed, fall asleep at 8 p.m., don't get to see him.
I love falling asleep with MLB TV on and falling asleep to Mike Trout and Angels games. You're going to tell me that you don't do that? Now that Vin Scully's gone and I can't fall asleep to Vin Scully's beautiful voice, I fall asleep to Mike Trout's Beautiful Swing.
Yeah, my thing is I don't have cable, so.
I mean, that's not cable, but all right, I get it.
Oh, MLB.TV. Yeah. I find.
Thanks for listening, Walter. I appreciate it.
I do listen sometimes, but yeah, I wasn't listening. Oh, I was partially listening there. Yeah, but the other guy that I wanted to talk about that I sent you a text today and you like replied immediately. You were like, oh, you sounded excited because I told you about a pitch change.
I love pitch changes. You know me and my narratives.
Your narratives, yeah. Well, that's not even a narrative.
It's a narrative that is facts. Actual facts. Big facts.
So, Yulish Chassin, who I don't think anybody really ever talks about.
No.
Right? He's kind of a forgotten man, even though he was a top prospect with the Rockies. But, you know, Rockies pitching prospect. And he's been around forever. I was surprised that he's only 30 years old.
Yeah. Okay, go on. Go on to the pitch change. Yeah. I'm excited. Yeah,
so I noticed I read somewhere about him throwing a splitter yesterday, and it was a day game, so I didn't get to watch. I was at work, and I went through, and he threw, I believe it was 26 splitters, strictly to left-handed hitters. And if you look at Chassin's career splits, it's kind of insane. He's actually a really good pitcher versus righties. And then really mediocre versus lefties for his entire career. And it's because he's mainly fastball slider guy. And that means he doesn't have a pitch versus left-handed hitters. And the splitter, if he has a pitch to neutralize lefties, even if it's not it doesn't look like it's a strikeout pitch right now because I think he got three or four whiffs off of it. But it had a 75% ground ball rate. Which, if he can just keep the ball on the ground against lefties, he's going to be a really good pitcher the rest of the year because he pitches really, really well against righties.
Yeah, hey, I'm always intrigued in someone that's adding a new fold to their game. So, Yulish Chassin, you bet, will be on my radar this week in Fab because he's not going to cost much. Like you said, people just kind of ignore him. No one even really notices that he's there. And I do think that that's interesting that he's adding something, whether or not it's really a swing and miss option yet, it could benefit his other pitches as well and make those pitches a little bit better at the same time. So it's kind of a cause and effect thing. You add this and it kind of just causes a ripple throughout your entire game. So he's going to have more sequencing options. He's going to have more speed differentials. He's going to have more movements that he can use and more tunnels. So it's just huge when you can add one pitch. And if it's useful and you can get ground balls out of it or you can get swing and misses out of it, then I'm in. I'm in on it. So I'm glad that you brought that to my attention. And yes, I was excited, even though the text did say Yulish Chassin to start off. I was excited.
Exactly. But the thing is, he has a two-start week next week as well. Ooh. At Pittsburgh and versus the St. Louis Cardinals.
That's a good one. It's a good two-starter.
A nice little two-start week. So he actually might get more traction than I thought, which kind of sucks.
Well, we'll see. I mean, we'll see how popular this podcast will be, too. You never know.
Yeah.
But you also have a trade that you wanted to talk about in TGFBI. Am I right? So why don't you go ahead and do that before we get into our Dynasty League targets, because those are always fun.
I almost forgot. So in TGFBI, I made a trade with Andrew Dewhurst.
Oh, my boy.
Also, of Friends of Fantasy Benefits. I traded him, James Paxton, and Andrew Benintendi, and I got back Max Scherzer and Michael Taylor.
Yeah, and honestly, I like this trade for both sides, though. It's like, it's just a really fair trade, I think. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you made the trade. Obviously, you think it's fair, but
honestly, I think he got the better end of the trade.
I think he did, as far as like the more well-rounded talent, because if Paxton does stay healthy this year, you might have lost out big time. Like, by the end of the year, Max Scherzer and James Paxton's stat lines might look almost the same.
Yeah, that's very possible. So my reasoning is I have 58 hitting points, second in the league, and I have 39 pitching points, 10th in the league. And I'm really struggling in wins, ERA, and whip. So,
okay, so Scherzer obviously is going to kill your whip, like, just like he's going to deflate that shit like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where his value comes in. ERA, whip, and of course I'm already second in strikeouts, so I'll probably take over strikeouts, honestly. But wins, there's a lot of upward mobility there. And Scherzer's just so good. He is, yeah. And I have Kershaw on this team too. So if Kershaw's able to come back and Scherzer together, my ratios can just normally they say like you can't really make up ratios, but if I have Scherzer and Kershaw out there dealing, I will be able to make up the ratios. Those are two guys that can.
Oh, absolutely. Those guys will just as soon as they get back. Well, I mean, when Kershaw has pitched this year, it hasn't mattered. Like, he came back for one start, got injured during the start, and he was still dominant. I mean, do we still question it? Like, when he pitches for the rest of the year, he's going to be good. You just hope that he doesn't come back and then leave again and then do what he's doing now. You just hope that he keeps on pitching because he's going to be good. I don't think there's any question.
Yeah, it's kind of insane that people were they kind of had him as a disappointment statistically, and it's like he has a 2.76 ERA, right, and a 1.12 whip with 53 strikeouts and 49 innings. He wasn't Kershaw level, but it's like he wasn't hurting you at all.
Yeah, and you get two more starts in, and he's back to Kershaw level with like a 2.14 ERA, and like, you know what I mean? Like, it's so early in his sample still because of the injuries that it would fluctuate so quickly if he had two more dominant starts, which he's Clayton Kershaw. So that's easily, expected once he comes back from the DL. But we'll see when that is. I mean, hopefully soon, like you said, because I have him on my TGFBI team too. So I'm kind of looking for pitching as well.
Yeah, and plus the other thing is I have Elvis Andrus, who's been on the DL for a while, who should be coming off soon.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like Andrew Benintendi, where it's like high average, good stolen bases, some and decent power. So
I like that.
I think it's kind of like I've made do without Elvis Andrus, and my lineup's been fine. And I think it's kind of Andrus will be able to replace what Benintendi gave me.
Yeah, I like the trade for both sides. Like I said, I do think that he kind of won out, but getting Scherzer with Kershaw on your DL, or on your DL still for who knows how long, is definitely a good plan. And hopefully Andrus comes back and provides that value for you, because that's always what we kind of talk about when we talk about trades on this show, is like supplementing the stats. Doesn't really matter if it's coming from an outfielder or, you know, whoever. It's Andrus replacing Benintendi, and that makes sense. And I get that. So yeah.
I have a question for you though.
Sure.
In TGFBI, I own Miguel Sano.
Ew.
What the hell are you going to do with him?
Nothing. I don't know, man. I mean, I would hold him just for a little bit until some of the stuff clears up and you figure out exactly what's going on. Obviously, you can't drop him right now.
Option to high A.
Yeah, it's like it seems like a Rougned Odor thing, like when they did that with Odor, but Odor was also like 22.
I just don't get it. They option Miguel Sano to high A. Buxton has a -3 WRC plus and gets every chance that he wants, and it's like, I don't know.
It's prejudice because he's fat.
It's because he's fat.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's not good defensively, and Buxton is the man in center field, but still, Buxton can't hit at all.
No, that's not. That's not even
and
extreme.
I'm not even joking. He has a -3 WRC plus right now. I know he's on the DL and he's only played 28 games, but -3.
Yeah, it doesn't.
I didn't even know that's possible.
No, it's definitely. I mean, he didn't break the stat. It's just he's terrible.
No, he broke it. He broke the stat.
He broke the game of baseball.
183 OBP and a 200 slug.
He's a worse hitter than Billy Hamilton.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's crazy. Because
that's so bad.
The thing was that everyone loved about Buxton was oh, he's a non-zero in home runs. Well, guess what he has had in home runs?
Wait.
Zero.
I have a question for you. All right. Man, bottom of the ninth, right? Oh, I dropped my phone. Hold on. This is serious, though. Bottom of the ninth. You, two outs, two strikes. You need a hit, right? You need just a hit. Byron Buxton or Alcides Escobar?
Oh, that's disgusting. Ugh.
Come on, Walter.
I think right now, you said two strikes?
Well, I mean, yeah, you need a hit. Like, let's just say you have a clear count. Give him a clear count.
Oh, man.
Got a runner on second. It's not bases loaded. You can't take the walk. Not that Buxton can take a walk right now.
You know what? I'm going to stick with Buxton.
Ooh. Okay.
He's terrible, but Alcides Escobar. Nah. I can't take Alcides Escobar.
I mean, I don't know. He might be able to touch the ball with the bat. That's kind of my thing.
Yeah, he doesn't strike out.
Yeah, exactly. And like Buxton honestly can't touch the ball with the bat right now, which is a problem in baseball sometimes.
But luckily, you said there's two outs. A strikeout is the same thing as grounding out, which is what Escobar will do. So I just hope that Buxton can actually make contact.
You pray for an error.
Yeah. Or an error where he can beat out a ground ball.
Yeah, I guess Escobar is not beating out any more ground balls right now. Although, I don't know. He's pretty quick still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We don't have to dwell on this question anymore. We could talk about Dynasty League targets. Do you want to do that? That's fun.
I like Dynasty League targets.
That's all right. Did you bring any to the table or did you not?
Go trade for, if you're rebuilding, trade for all the injured players.
That's your Dynasty League target is trade for all the injured players.
No, I'm being serious, though. I think that is a good strategy.
It's a good idea. I would trade for Ohtani, too, because you don't even know. He might be able to come back this year still.
Yeah, Ohtani. I actually did a trade recently. I traded Scott Kingery, our boy Scott Kingery, and I got Chris Archer back.
Oh, that's pretty good. We were talking about that. I think I said I would take Kingery, but...
Yeah, you probably did, and I just ignored what you said. But yeah, oh, I was going to say, this is a really random one, a Dynasty League target.
Yeah.
I know you have a lot of young guys.
Actually, only one of my guys is young on this list.
Okay, you have a lot of prospects. I don't know, they're not really young. I was going to say these guys are relievers. So if you're not really contending this year, I would go try and get Andrew Miller, and then I would try and get David Robertson because they both have expiring contracts this year. And depending on where they sign, you could have two top 10 closers next year.
It's fair. It's a good point. I kind of like that. All right.
Those are two guys I've been looking at. I've been trying to do that because I have some teams where they're bad this year, but I think they're going to be good next year.
Yeah.
And relievers, I don't really want to pay for. So if you can get guys that you think will be closers next year, then go for it. As well as Tanner Scott, because that dude is filthy. I don't know why he was sent down. Well, I guess O'Day was activated, but Tanner Scott, he's filthy.
Ooh. Xander Bogaerts with a bomb. But, yeah, thanks for the real world targets, Walter. I appreciate that because I'm going to take you down to the farm real quick. Do you want to come?
I've mainly lived in the city, so not really too much about the farm.
All right. Well, let's just take a journey then. It'll be like an outer body experience for you. You'll be able to observe and just appreciate it. Okay. We're going to start with a pitcher. I know you don't like Dynasty League pitchers.
What? I love Dynasty League pitchers.
All right. Well, you're definitely going to love... I mean, I already know. You have to love Chris Paddock. Who doesn't love Chris Paddock right now? And he's not... I mean, we're in the Real Fake Dynasty League. There's 20 teams in that league. There's 400 prospects owned. And I got Chris Paddock for $2 off Fab. What? I mean, have you been paying attention to him at all this year? And his gif-able changeup and all of these things that he's doing? I mean...
It's filthy.
It's absolutely filthy. His minor league career, ready, Walter? 130 innings, 180 strikeouts to 15 walks. He's treating it like it's prep baseball. He has 5 home runs. He has a 166 ERA, an 80 whip, and a 33.4 strikeout minus walk rate. It's ridiculous what he's doing to the minor leagues. He's only in high A right now. He's over in Inland Empire, but... or Lake Elsinore or somewhere. It's late. It's super late.
It's not even that late. I don't want to hear it.
It's late. It's late.
Now the thing is, he is a little bit older for high A.
Yeah,
so,
and he's mostly fastball changeup. That's what everyone says. But come on, like these numbers are ridiculous right now. Like seen the changeup, and it's nasty.
I would say
it's not a normal changeup.
Yeah, yeah, no. I mean, he looks insane. Would you? So you'd be trying to, if someone else owned him, would you be trying to buy him?
Right now, no, I'd probably be trying to sell him.
Yep, I'm with you.
I would 100% be trying to sell him. But I'm saying, if he's available on your waiver wire, because he might still be available on your waiver wire, go pick him up so you can be the one that trades him to someone else. Because he's really dominant right now. If he starts to do this in Double A, I don't know, I might hold on to him a little bit. You know, I might want to just trade him now before he gets there, because I might become attached. Because if those numbers start to translate, then, you know, I'm kind of going to get sucked in. And Walter says it's
there.
Not late,
yeah,
and
he's
just yawning
there.
Right in my face right now. You know, I yawn every time someone yawns. I'm surprised I haven't yet. I think it was just because I had to make fun of you for it.
Well, I'm sorry. I had a yawn. I'm not really that tired. I mean, I'm tired.
That makes no sense.
I've gotten used to not sleeping as very much.
You don't have enough oxygen in your brain right now. That's why you yawned.
Okay. That's kind of rude, man.
It's scientific. Anyway. You
said lightheaded? Is that what you're calling me?
Whiteheaded? That's racist.
I said light, but yeah.
Okay, moving on. My second dynasty target, are you ready? It's O'Neill Cruz, 19-year-old Pittsburgh Pirates shortstop. He's 6'6", 180 pounds, shortstop. Do you know anything about O'Neill Cruz, Walter? Do you know that I just traded for him?
I know that
he's
massive. That's,
he's huge.
That's really, yeah, I know you just traded for him, and I know that he's like a massive human.
Yeah.
But I don't know too much else. I have looked into picking him up, and he is hitting well. He's extremely young and a massive shortstop, which is really weird.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's going to stick at shortstop, but they seem to really want him to stay there. He's making a lot of errors right now, too, and they're just kind of leaving him there. I mean, the Pirates take their time with their guys, but honestly, the hitters that they've been calling up lately with Josh Bell, Austin Meadows, I mean, these guys are looking good. They still have Cole Tucker down there too. He's supposed to be a really good hitter. Calvin Mitchell. So they're really breeding some good hitters right now, and I think O'Neill Cruz is just going to be another one. He does have some holes in the swing, obviously, but I mean, he's still got the 289 average. He's got a 373 OBP. He's got the 209 ISO. He's got 8 home runs and 225 at bats. Last year it took him 342. So the power is definitely coming along, and like, still 19 years old and he's 6'6". That's ridiculous. His body is insane. So if he is available where you play your dynasty leagues, go pick him up. All right, Walter, do you have any dynasty league targets for our listeners right now?
Yeah. So there's a guy that he was in the Fangraphs Yankees top prospects this offseason. His name's Ezekiel Duran, and pretty much Kylie McDaniel put in there that what he got was that he can just flat out hit. And I have been seeing Jason Waddell tweet about him recently, and he said the same thing. He's like, he's been watching him, and he's just got lightning quick bat speed. And the problem is he's second base only and doesn't really have any speed, but I don't know. The Yankees keep churning out these guys that it seems like they can just hit. And Yeah, so I think in deeper dynasty leagues, he's worth an add. I have him in real fake dynasty league, so I think he's worth a look. Especially look at those tweets that Jason Waddell put out. Jason at the game. He's good follow on Twitter.
Oh, he's so great. I follow. I retweet almost. Well, lately I've been retweeting and favoriting a lot of prospect videos and stuff, and he's one of the best. So yeah, absolutely go out there and follow him for sure.
Yeah, like I just went to Twitter. 59 seconds ago, he tweeted Braden Webb pitching. He literally just goes to games. Like, I don't even know how he does it. He's literally there every day. And his Twitter name is perfect, Jason at the game.
Yeah, that's what he is. He's always there. But yeah, he's always talking about some Yankees prospects because he's down in Tampa. So he gets to see the Tarpons quite a bit. So that's fun for me, at least, because I love the Yankees. And there's a ton of prospects down there that are really interesting, especially Luis Medina, one of my favorite young pitchers. But I have another bat here, Los Angeles Dodgers bat, one of my favorites. I have him in most of my dynasty leagues, except for the one where they have a combined team in our real fake dynasty, right? Donkey Teeth and B-Don, who are now over on Razzball, which is kind of cool. But they have the combined team, and they stole Rylan Bannon from me, the 22-year-old eighth round pick from last year's draft. All he's done since being drafted is hit 25 home runs in 383 at bats. He is slashing .302, .399, and .570. He's got 7 stolen bases, too. He's got more home runs than doubles, which is fun. And he's got a 12.6 walk rate to a 21% strikeout rate. He's just absolutely mashing. He's done it before. He's done it in college. He's done it now in the majors. And he's doing it at high A now. So I think it's just the time to pick him up. There's nothing that says he's not going to hit. He's almost like Brent Rooker without the strikeouts.
That's a pretty interesting one, because everybody
loves Brent Rooker. I mean,
we did too.
I still love it. It doesn't make me not love Brent Rooker, but I'm just saying, from what I see, he is, well, Brent Rooker was obviously drafted higher as well, so there's a little bit more hype there. But Bannon was a great college hitter. Now he's moving into the minors. He has a smooth swing. He's a very stocky guy. Like, he has the power behind it. And he just seems to know how to hit, and he's not proving like there's any reason for us not to believe it. So I think once we see him go up to Double A, it's going to be the best test, but, there's nothing that says he's not going to just go up there and freaking prove it. So that's kind of awesome right now. And I think this is the time to pick him up. You can get him for super cheap.
Yeah, I don't disagree there. He seems like one of those, like, you do a 2-for-1 trade, and then you have a prospect spot open, and you go and scoop them up.
Yep, absolutely. And if you don't have anyone else, I have another one that's perfect.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yep, this is the last one, and it's kind of exactly like what you said. If you can do a 2-for-1 trade and you can get a spot, this bat is kind of perfect. He's a center fielder for the Mariners, so he might be able to slot in at some point this season for them. But it's Braden Bishop. He was drafted in 2015 as a third-round pick, and he's just a good hitter. It's almost like a Austin Meadows kind of guy, if you can picture it. Like, not really a high walk rate, but also a really low strikeout rate. He just has a good hit tool, decent speed, decent power. He never really showed the power before, but this year he has just come along. He's got 7 or 8 home runs now, and in the last 31 games, which is basically a calendar month, he's slashing .397, .437, and .582 with 5 home runs, 11 doubles, and 19 strikeouts to 9 walks, which is just kind of crazy. So Braden Bishop is just another guy. I would say check and see if he's on your waiver wires in your dynasty leagues, because he's definitely a good pickup right now if you have an open spot. It's always good to accumulate bats, and if they have the good hit tool, now coming up to the league in the majors, I mean, the power is kind of unquestioned. So it's like, if they can already hit .300 and they've shown a great hit tool and shown a great approach like Austin Meadows did, and like, you know, some of these prospects like Gleyber Torres, like Juan Soto, then they're going to come up and they're going to show the power. So I think that this is just another one in the long line of contact hitters.
Yeah. Can I give one? I'm going to give you one that I don't know if you can really consider him a prospect, sure. even though he's never made it to the majors because he's 26 years old.
Okay.
And he just got called up to AAA for the Mets.
Ryan McNeil?
Jeff McNeil.
Jeff McNeil. My bad.
Yes. Jeff McNeil.
No, it was McNeil.
Second baseman. And I don't know. He hit 14 home runs in AA this year. He has 22 walks to 23 strikeouts. And if you just look at his like ground ball fly ball rates, he's hitting a ton of fly balls this year in comparison to the rest of his career. It looks like a swing change guy. I honestly don't know too much about him, and I weekly I do like a scrub of just like the minor league numbers just to see what's going on and who's doing what, and he just popped up and I don't know. I saw in the news today he got called up to AAA with Peter Alonso.
Yep.
So.
Oh, and he should be able to mash there in Las Vegas.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. And I don't know what the Mets are going to do, but it's not like they have a second baseman of the future or anything. So he could be one of those older guys that ends up in the majors and hits. So I he's going to be left for like extremely deep leagues though.
Oh, definitely, but just something that you know, people could do their homework on. Go and see if you can find any swing changes or anything like that, any Jeff McNeil, deep Jeff McNeil articles that are out there, which is you can send them over to my Twitter at Paul the Martin. I would definitely be interested in reading some deep Jeff McNeil Twitter information. I'm all about the information. Just hand me the information and I'm about it.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of Jeff McNeil articles.
I'll find
one. No offense to him.
No offense to him or his mother, but I'm sure they're lovely people.
And if you have never listened to us before, we normally end on some obscure player.
Which like is like Jeff McNeil. Like, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that's how it usually divulges or digresses or whatever. I don't know. Vocab is tough at this point.
It was like the time I ended it with Trace Thompson. And he's, you know, he's hitting like one... He's hitting like 100.
Is he still hitting or is he gone now?
I mean, he was never hitting, but...
No, he got taken by Daniel Palka.
Oh, he went 1-for-3 today, actually.
Oh, good for him. Probably raised his batting average. How about Jackie Bradley? Is he obscure yet?
He's obscure.
Who?
He's... That... take
Jackie Bradley and Drake. No. That's how we're going to end out. Like, he's about as obscure as Drake at this point.
Yeah, take the L, man.
Just take the L, man. He can't even throw. All right, anyway, we definitely got to get out of here at this point. People have no idea what we're talking about. So yeah, great that we ended it on that note. If you got this far, thanks for doing that. That's kind of nice of you. So appreciate that. Come follow us on Twitter. I am at Paul the Martin. Walter is at Real Fake Walter. And yeah, we're going to host a show here on Friends with Fantasy Benefits. And I'm going to write on Razzball and Pitcher List and Prospects 1500 and probably Friends with Fantasy Benefits too. I mean, why not? I do it. I don't know, man. I do enough as it is, but I might as well just do more. So I'll be out here.
I'll just do more.
It's fine.
You can try and be like Justin Mason, but I don't think that's possible to write for as many sites as he does.
Well, actually, tomorrow I have a little interview, so hopefully I'll have a little bit more of a structured schedule, so then I might be able to do more. That would be really nice, so hopefully that goes well. And yeah, I hope this podcast goes up, and I hope you like it, and I'm going to get out of here before I say any more words. So thanks for listening, and yeah, come back next week. See ya.
Bye.